Yesterday I was in the evening. We have a Beagle coffee. Most of you know coffee. And she always has to go on a nightly walk. And so I took her on her nightly walk at around 10 o'clock. And usually on a Saturday evening, I'll take her maybe on a little longer walk because I kind of want to get my head cleared for Sunday and to begin running, just reviewing the message in my mind and preparing myself for our worship service. And I was doing that, and I'm kind of going through, we're going to go through Romans and Romans 8 and kind of going through that, but I just kept getting this feeling that this really wasn't the message that I needed to speak today. Well, and for one, Romans 8, 1 isn't directly having to do with missions, and I really felt the Lord wanting me to go more in that missions way. Now, 10 o'clock on a Saturday night isn't really a good time to begin preparing a sermon, so I was getting a little bit panicked. But yeah, I felt that the Lord is in this, so I went back and I started going through some of my files, and I found this file about praying for missionaries. Now, I can't say that I've preached a lot on missions since I've been here. I think I've had a couple of messages, partly because Pastor Wong, as our senior pastor, came to speak in our English worship quite regularly, and he has, as you know, a passion for missions, and so he spoke a lot about outreach and about missions, about reaching the world for Christ, and so I kind of left that to him because I thought we had a good influence in terms of having a mission mindset through Pastor Wong speaking. But I was thinking, well, I can't really speak in terms of missions like Pastor Wong can. I've been on a couple of short-term missions, but I hardly qualify as an expert in terms of a mission endeavor. But there's one thing that I know that I can do for missions, and another thing that I think that all of us can do, and that's praying for missionaries. And prayer is really key. And if we sent our missionaries without supporting them financially, but even without supporting them in prayer, their effectiveness would be so much less. I was talking to Brother Kunming this past week, and he was sharing that he led a series of evangelistic events in Michigan several weeks ago, and I was asking him how it went. And he actually spoke at two churches, and he said that it went well, and there was, we could rejoice. There was, I don't know, at least 10 or 12 who accepted Christ during that weekend. And he said the one church he served at and spoke at was a big church in the Detroit suburbs. And he said there was a lot of meetings, very busy, and the Lord worked through it. But then he said he went to another church, a little bit smaller church, and that church he actually had more time in terms of preparation, and he really was able to get about an hour at one point before his messages to really pray. And he said it was really amazing because being able to spend that time in prayer really made a difference, and the meeting went so much better in that second church because he had time to pray. And I think it's the same for our missionaries. The more that we can, as a church, come behind them and pray on these days that we have our Mission Sundays as a body, but also as individuals, we can really trust and hope that the Lord would use our prayers and their work to reach many more with the good news of the gospel. Now today, when we hand out our, and we meet and break up into small groups for our prayer time, we have a sheet that will be handed out later in the classes with prayer requests. Now, this is something that we can actually take home, and you can use them to the request in your personal time and with your family to pray for our missionaries. But today I want to talk a little bit about the ABCs of praying for missionaries, and this is more general prayers. If we know the missionaries, we can fill in specifics, but these are some ways that, you know, because sometimes the tendency is, well, Lord, bless all the missionaries, and that's our prayer. But what does that really mean? So these are some specific ways that we can kind of go through to pray in specific ways. Now, this material actually comes from a Southern Baptist publication, and the author is Dave Butts. Now, Dave wrote actually since it's the ABCs of missionaries, we're going A through H, and he actually did A through F, and I added G and H. So the end part is mine. The main headings are his, but the content is mine in terms of just kind of fleshing it out. But I thought this was a really good kind of a structure to help us remember how we can pray for missionaries. Normally when I preach, I like to do what's called expository preaching. I'll look at one passage usually, or maybe a verse, and kind of unpack it and seek to derive the meaning from that verse and the context of it. This actually is what is known as a topical sermon. And so we're going to be going through a number of different verses that bear on this particular topic. So I'm not going really in-depth on the verses, but we're just kind of just touching on the surface. So it's a little different than I usually do. The verses will be on the PowerPoint, but if you have your Bibles, you can flip quickly to those passages. So the first A, the ABCs of missionaries, we start with the letter A, and it would be acceptance. Now, Romans 15:31. Let's read that together. Pray that I may be rescued from the unbelievers in Judea, and that my service in Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints there. So this is interesting, acceptance, and we see here that these are basically all prayer requests from Paul, and he's praying that he would be accepted, that his service would be acceptable to the saints in Jerusalem. Now, Paul wasn't living in Jerusalem. He was living usually in the various parts of the Roman Empire where we found him in Corinth and Ephesus and Philippi. But at one point he goes back to Jerusalem because he wanted to report on his ministry, and I believe the apostles that were in Jerusalem at the time wanted to hear about this new convert, this prophet, in a sense, to the Gentiles. And so he wanted, and his prayer request would be that he would be found acceptable to the saints, to the apostles that were there. And really, it's not so much about being accepted amongst the people that Paul was serving or that missionary served, but it's to be acceptable amongst other believers who you're working with. So it's being acceptable to our co-workers. And this is really critical because the missionary endeavor is a relational endeavor. Missionaries nowadays work in teams. It's very rare. I mean, the percentage of missionaries who are actually going to remote villages or tribes in the Amazon jungle is quite rare. Most missions nowadays is urban, and you have to work with a variety of different co-workers. And so the Apostle Paul is saying, we need to pray for him that he can be accepted, but we can pray for our missionaries as well. One of my friends is a longtime missionary in Taiwan, and he was doing church planting in a small town that was kind of a off the beaten path. And he was basically seeking to plant the church, and indeed did plant the church. But one of the interesting scenarios at one point he shared a prayer request was that there was another pastor in town that was also had a church, a small church. And what he would do, this pastor, he had a friend in my missionary friend's church, and he would talk to the friend and find out what's going on, and not talk to the missionary, but then he would invite the believers of my friend's church to his church and try to get them involved in his church. And so this national believers methodology of church planting would be what missiologist, I don't know, called church sheep stealing. He was trying to, instead of trying to reach out to the unreached, he was trying to steal sheep from another church. So this is all about relationship, and I believe my friend kind of got to meet with this pastor, and they were able to work it out. And actually, you know, that working it out is probably a good thing, because my friend is good at evangelism, and he can lead people to Christ, and perhaps this other pastor is really good at shepherding, and rather than compete against each other, they can work together. And so so we can pray for our missionaries that they would that they can find acceptance with one another. The second, the letter B that we see here is boldness. Boldness. Do we have the next slide? Oh, we missed. Do we have a missing B? What is the letter B? Boldness. And this is from do we have anything? Today is brought to you by the letter B. But, oh, well, we're on D. Here we go. Oh, look at that. We're missing a B. Well, I don't actually even have the verse here, but we know, is Ephesians 6:19. Ephesians 6:19, I will read it, and it says, the Apostle Paul says, "Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel." And so his prayer request is that he would fearlessly make known the message of the gospel, which is boldness. And this is something that missionaries need. It's what we all need as we seek to win our friends for the gospel. And it's also true of missionaries. Not all missionaries are gifted evangelists. Not all missionaries are extroverts. If you happen to be an extrovert with a giftedness of evangelism, you probably are really far ahead of the game in terms of planting churches and reaching people for Christ. However, not everyone is like that, and not all missionaries are actually in that church planting venue. Pastor Wong, I think he shared this before. He shared it with me, but he said it was interesting that the Lord called him to plant churches because he says, really, I'm more introverted, and I don't really prefer to be out meeting new people all the time. And he felt he wasn't necessarily gifted in evangelism, but yet here he was called in Niger to be in a church planting context. And so God really, he had to trust in God even more so to help him to have boldness and to go out into the streets and to meet people and seek to win them for Christ. And so we can pray for our missionaries that they would have boldness. Now the third C, the letter C, is that of clarity. And that is Colossians 4:4. Let's read that together. "Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should." Okay, so Paul wants in his prayer request is to proclaim the gospel clearly as I should. And it's difficult. This is actually a key prayer request for missionaries because in the missionary endeavor, there's a cross-cultural element. There's a cross-language element usually. And so missionaries have to learn a new language and they have to try to be able to communicate in a way that they can actually communicate clearly, but also then when they seek to transmit the knowledge of the gospel, that they can do it in a way that those from the other culture understand. Even for those of us in English-speaking contexts have this particular issue as well. For example, I came from a Roman Catholic background. And so I remember when I was in high school, and as I shared the last couple of weeks, the Lord began to work in my heart, and I bought a Bible and started reading the Word. And a friend of mine invited me to her Protestant church, her evangelical church. It was really the first non-Catholic church I think I had ever been to, apart from a wedding or a funeral. And so she brought me to an event, and we saw a movie, and then they presented the gospel. And when they presented the gospel, they said, at the end, if anyone would like to receive Christ, please come forward, and I think you could talk with the pastor. Well, as a person who's, you might think, what's the big deal about that? But as a Catholic, when I heard receive Christ, I thought communion. Because for Catholics, when you take communion, they believe in what's called transubstantiation, or that when the priest blesses the elements, the bread becomes the actual body of Christ. The blood, the drink becomes the actual blood of Christ. It still looks like bread and wine, but it's actually truly flesh, truly blood. And so, as a Catholic, when I would receive communion, I'm receiving Christ. That's how we would talk about it. And now, in this context of this evangelistic church, he said, receive Christ, and they didn't have communion. Nobody went up for communion, and I just thought that was so funny, and I'm just like trying to not laugh. Like the two shaking, I'm like laughing so hard, but I'm trying not to laugh. And this was a great example of just a failure to communicate. Like those in the church there didn't necessarily regularly reach out to Roman Catholics, so they didn't quite understand the dynamics going on. But as a missionary, they have to understand the dynamics of who they're speaking to so that the word actually comes across clearly. So we pray for clarity. Our D letter is deliverance. Deliverance. I think we have the deliverance. This is Romans 15:31. Let's read that together. Pray that I may be rescued from the unbelievers in Judea, and that my service in Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints there. So here we see the Apostle Paul. He's praying that he may be rescued from the unbelievers in Judea. I don't know exactly the context. I don't think it really he goes into the context of what's happening there. But we know that the Apostle Paul underwent serious persecution. He was beaten, lashed 40 times or 39 times on a number of occasions. He barely escaped with his life on a number of other occasions. And so he was highly persecuted and actually pursued oftentimes for them to arrest him or take his life because of his proclamation of the gospel in places that didn't want to hear the gospel, either because there was idol worship and they were upset because the idol worshiping community didn't like a new idea coming in, or amongst Jews because he was reinterpreting the meaning of Judaism and focusing it on Christ. And so he's praying for deliverance. And we as well can pray for our many missionaries that they would be delivered as well, because many of our missionaries are in parts of the world that are highly dangerous. In fact, a good percentage of our missionaries from C4 are working in Muslim areas because, I don't know how many years ago, 4 or 5 years ago now, the church really decided that we wanted to focus our missionary effort into the Muslim areas because there's over 1 billion unreached Muslims, and that is really a need in terms of reaching the unreached. And so many of these areas are actually quite dangerous for missionaries and quite dangerous for the believers. Grace and I have friends that are working and doing ministry in Saudi Arabia, and occasionally you'll hear Saudi Arabian Filipino nurses getting arrested and receiving the death penalty sentence because they met in a Bible study in someone's home. They weren't publicly worshiping. Usually what happens is at that point the Philippines government intervenes and then they're released. But can you imagine, you just have a little Bible study, the authorities come in, and next thing you know, you're on death row. So Saudi Arabia is particularly challenging, but even in countries like Malaysia, which have more of an openness, not openness, but it's a Muslim country, but they do, from what I understand, allow freedom of religion. And so Pastor Wong grew up in Malaysia, and he grew up in the Methodist church, so there's actually churches there. But if there's any inkling that Christians are trying to convert someone, then that begins to rile up the population. So I know one of our missionaries that we support in Malaysia shared at one time, and I don't remember the details, but they were having some meeting in a house, and I think they had a special speaker, and they were actually doing an evangelistic meeting. Somehow it got out into the community what was happening, and actually a mob formed around the house. And, pitchforks and, I don't think it was that bad, but I got the image of pitchforks and, torches. Flaming sticks. Torches. In any case, it was a dangerous situation, and they had to pray, and they actually had to call the authorities to help them get out of the house, and they had to leave the house with covering. They had to put blankets over themselves. They had to hide their faces because if the people, the mob, saw who they were, it's very, very possible that there would have been repercussions where they would have pursued them, or if they saw them on the street later, maybe they could get hurt. And so these are things that are happening now in many parts of the world and amongst our missionaries, and so we can pray for deliverance. Okay, we're on D. The next is E, which is extension. Extension. Let's read Colossians 4:3. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. And so the Apostle Paul here is writing from prison, but he's praying that God would open up doors for the message that he may proclaim, and that the church may begin proclaiming the good news of the gospel. And so for the Apostle Paul, he had a desire through his life to go to Rome and to spread the gospel in Rome. And the Lord brought him to Rome, not as a free man, but as a prisoner. But the Lord used that in a great way to help to to encourage and to grow the church there. And he wrote many of his letters from Rome, and so God really used that time. But here he's saying that we need to pray that God would open doors for ministry and to share the gospel. And so that, I think, is the same for us as we seek to reach our classmates and our co-workers and our family, friends for Christ. You know, we need to pray that God would open up a door of opportunity that we can share the good news and share our lives. And at the same time, we can pray for missionaries that God would open up the hearts of individuals that they reach, are seeking to reach and befriend. But also, in a strategic way, as they maybe go into new cities and new villages and reach new peoples with the gospel who haven't heard before. And so we can pray for open doors, that the gospel would, there'd be an extension, that it would go beyond where they're currently at. The sixth, the F, is fruitfulness. Let's read together. Finally, brothers, pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored just as it was with you. And so we can pray for our missionaries to have a fruitful ministry. Especially since our missionaries that we support work amongst Muslim peoples, I think this is an important prayer request, because the sharing is maybe not, I don't know, it might not be that hard, but the results are often few. There's not that many positive results. There's some, which I think keeps them encouraged, but at the same time, We need to continually to pray that there would be fruit. And oftentimes, I think, for the missionaries that we support, they're actually laying the groundwork. And they're beginning to befriend people and begin sharing. Maybe the fruit will come later when other missionaries come in. But nonetheless, we can pray that God would plant seeds in the hearts of people, and that would come to fruition when they at some point in accepting Christ as Lord. Our G letter is guidance. Let's read. For this reason, since the day we heard about it, you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. So here, the Apostle Paul's prayer request is that God would fill the church, those in Colossae, with knowledge and wisdom as the Spirit gives. And I think for our missionaries, we can pray that the Lord would help give them insights in strategy, how they can reach others for the gospel. The way that one would approach ministry and sharing the gospel in the U.S. here would be very different than how you would approach sharing in places in South America, Latin America, that are highly Roman Catholic, which would have different strategies trying to reach Muslims in Saudi Arabia, or postmodern, post-Christian in Europe. And so, depending on where the context of the missionaries, they may have a different strategy. And so we can pray for them. The churches in Hong Kong that I'm familiar with, of the church that I was part of for many years, the Christian Missionary Alliance, they have a strong presence in Hong Kong. And the Hong Kong churches desire to reach China, reach people in China, but they didn't really know how to go about it. They would send short-term teams, but they'd have some success, but there was nothing really sticking. And so they began to pray, and they began to strategize and seek the Lord on how they can have more effectiveness in sharing the gospel. And the Lord really led them to a strategy where churches would go in with teams to cities, to villages, towns, and they would begin a dialogue. Even though this is communist leaders, they would begin a dialogue and being upfront. You know, we're from a church in Hong Kong, but we want to help. Tell us how we can help. And then in developing this dialogue, some of the politicians would say, well, we really need a youth center. We don't know. We have all these youth running around. We don't know what to do with them. And then the church would say, okay, we'll work on getting a youth center together. And they would get the approval. And they would build a youth center, which they would also use for worship on Sunday. And then they would begin to bring youth in to take care of them during the week. And this was totally on a governmental level. But once the kids are in this youth center, it's manned by Christians. And then there's the gospel witness. And through that, the churches were actually able to be above board and work with the government officials, and there was a lot of fruit, and a lot of churches were planted, and a lot of life changed because of that. It all came about because of prayer, and prayer specifically for guidance, that God would guide them into a strategy that would be most effective, and so we can create guidance for our missionaries. Lastly, H, hope. Hope. Romans 15:13. Let's read. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I think hope is so important in praying for our missionaries, because being away from your family, being away from your friends, being away from the culture that you know and love, that you're familiar with, and being in a different place far away, and if you see limited results, you're not seeing, you know, big churches planted or whatever, I think it's easy to be discouraged. So we can pray that the missionaries have hope, that the Lord would, through His Spirit, give them this sense of hope. I couldn't help but think of a church planting effort of the Alliance Churches in South America. I believe it was in the Andes Mountains, and I think it was in Peru or Chile. I didn't get a chance to look at a map to see my geography, but it was South America, and they began doing a work amongst this particular people group. I think there was about 100,000 at the time in the people group, and it was probably in 1910 or 1915 that they began to do missionary work there. And it was very hard going, slow going, and after 25 years, they probably only had about a dozen people who came to know Christ. So we're probably going through on the second generation of missionaries there with hardly any converts. Another, after 30, 35 years, there was maybe 50 converts. I mean, this is such a small amount for such hard work, and it's just easy to be discouraged. But what happened, I believe it was in the 1960s, and this is now probably the fourth generation of missionaries that are there. They led a family to Christ that was a prominent family, and then this family led, I think, one of the tribal leaders, this really wasn't like an Amazon tribe, it was a little bit more advanced than that, but they led one of the leaders, the governmental leaders, the elders in the society, and his family came to know Christ, and then he began to influence a whole lot of other people, and what ended up happening is what's called a people movement. And so within maybe about 3 years, this now group of 200,000 people, about 150,000 became Christians. And so the Spirit worked in an amazing way, and I don't think it would have ever happened if it weren't for the groundwork that was laid by all those other missionaries for those 40 years. But it took that long. And of course, those who were involved in the people movement, I mean, they didn't have to worry about hope. They had to worry about how we can, you know, take care of all these people. But, you know, but many of our missionaries are in difficult situations, and the fruit that they may see may actually come about much later, maybe even when they're in glory with Jesus. And so we can pray that the Lord would give our missionaries encouragement, that give them hope as they continue to keep their hands to the plow and do good work for the Lord. The final slide here is from the verse in Revelation 7 where it says that in heaven at the end times that those peoples will come before the throne of God. All tribes and tongues and people and nations will come before the throne. Now, I don't think it'll quite look like that. I don't even know how you envision, you know, billions of people before the throne. But I like this how this is represented, the people from all these different nations and who believe in Jesus. And that's what it's about, that one day our missionaries and us, as part of the mission effort, as part of their team, men and women from every tribe, tongue, and people and nation will come to know the Lord, and God ultimately will be glorified. Praise His name. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for this Mission Sunday and the chance that we have to think about missions and, most importantly, to pray for our missionaries. Our missionaries need prayer, those that we support, but also many of us know other missionaries and missionaries, even that we don't know, need our prayers. And so help us, Lord, to be reminded the difference that we can make in prayer. And Lord, we look to you for the work that you will do in their hearts and lives and in the fields that they work in, or that many people would come to know you. We give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.